What's up, everybody? I'm super excited. My new book, That's Crazy. No, That's God, has officially launched. Bam, 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 bam. Listen, I just brought it back for all of y'all who've been missing the sound. But let me tell you something. This book is going to ignite your faith. You need to tell every single person you know to get the That's Crazy, No, That's God book. I'm telling you, it's going to ignite your faith. It's going to show you how to see what's already there. It's going to show you how to listen to the voice of God and be led by the Spirit into the supernatural. Not just in big moments, but in your everyday life. Because the planet's going to say, that's crazy. And you, your friends, your family, they're all going to say, no, that's God. Go get the book now. Peace. Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad that you're here. I have a special guest, and we actually joked about it, like it's an unexpected crossover. Some of you might recognize her, and it's just such a privilege to be able to spend this time to chat and to be able to hopefully give you guys good wisdom, but also share our own experiences. And so with me today, I have Jessica from Eyes on Me.
Hey.
And Something Ain't Right podcast. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I'm
thanks for being
so
here.
Glad to be here.
Yes.
Honored to be here.
I'm excited. I was like, man, it's like Disney Channel whenever they used to cross over the episodes. I'm like, wow, we've got This Is Real and Something Ain't Right all in one building. But we actually have known each other for a very long time now, you know, been in the same community for some time, seen one another through many different, you know, places and relationships. And so, you know, as we were preparing, Pastor Juan is out on vacation, I believe. And so I'm like, he's either on vacation or
Where
he's ministering.
Yeah, on vacation.
Yes. And so I've got the incredible honor to be able to host this with another friend today. And so I decided to invite Jessica and say, you know what? Come on. I know you and I are very passionate about speaking on relationships. We've gone through our fair share of ups and downs in relationships. And what I like to say is dating in Christ and dating outside of Christ, right? And so we're just going to dive right into that. So share a little bit about where you are now, right? Maybe the people know you, maybe they don't, but let's just give them a little preview.
So I am currently single. And I know it's dating, but I don't like using that term, dating, because I feel like there's expectations when we say, oh, I'm going to go on a date with so-and-so.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, I'm single and I just pursue Christ 1,000%. I'm a mom of a son, so I just focus on him for the most part and just ministry.
Yeah.
But I'm single.
and you have just shared also, like, it's been a new thing for you to be in ministry.
Yeah.
And different than sort of like living or working in a corporate world and dating in or being in relationships in the secular world. And so it seems almost like there's just a huge change just in your lifestyle. So how do you just view relationships now? Or maybe we can go back to, how did you view relationships before? I know we joked about, like, you know, Pastor Juan always called us out or whatever, but it's not just us, it's everyone, right? If that you, well, I'll let you say it. Go for it.
So I was married for 8.5 years with my son's dad. And it wasn't a good marriage, but it was two broken people coming together, right?
Yeah.
And so we were both unhealed. It was a toxic relationship in marriage, and it didn't work. I grew up with a grandma, so I never saw a healthy dynamic of a relationship, right? A mother and a father. And I think that played a big part of why my relationships failed.
Yeah.
And so I take accountability for that.
Yeah.
But I take, as I grew in Christ, like, I started to learn how to have healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. But it starts with, how do you have healthy friendships?
Yep.
Do we have healthy friendships first, and healthy friendships with the opposite sex, you know, without being like lustful or anything like that? So I've grown within the last, I think I would say I'm like been a Christian for a while, but being fully surrendered and to Christ is like maybe about 4 years now.
Yeah.
So since then, like, girl, the Lord has been using me in so many ways. So many doors have opened. Mm-hmm. And so I've healed even more.
Yeah.
And so I see things in a different lens of, like, I don't know if I'm ready to date, but I'm here, Lord.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's cool that you share that because I feel like it's not wrong for us to maybe desire a relationship or want to be married. I mean, I was single for many years before. I'm only married three years, right? So going on four. So I know that sometimes we can maybe feel like, oh man, I shouldn't want to be in one. Like I need to be content in my singleness and stuff. But I also think that it's good to honor like that desire that you have to be like, you know, I want to be in a relationship, but I know that maybe I'm not personally ready for one, you know? And so, you know, I want to kind of go into some of what our views and beliefs were before getting that full surrender in Christ, you know, before, because one thing you mentioned was friendships, and that's a key, and you guys have heard me talk about it often, like, I'm always sharing how jacked up I was on thinking of relationships, because I feel like I've dated the right way in Christ and out of Christ, and the wrong way in Christ as well.
Yeah.
And so, and when I say dating, whatever you want to call it, right? Whether you're courting, whether you're, you know, talking or interested in one another, that's just the term that I use, but I think for me, it was that. It was the friendships. Like, I did not understand being a friend with someone of the opposite sex in the sense of, like, if we're both attracted or interested in to one another. And so then it, to me, back then, it was like, well, why be friends if we like each other? If you like me and I like you, then we're dating. Like, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like,
we go together. That's,
yeah, we go together. Like, it's that simple. But like you said, learning to be friends, whether you're platonic friends or if you're interested, learning to be friends. When that light bulb went off for me, Jessica, it was like a whole new world. Literally, I was like, oh, this is what that means. Yeah, I was like, this is how you do that. I had no idea. And I thought that I did, but I really had no idea. And so I love like kind of giving those light bulb moments to others too, because it's like, girl or boy, I know you think you know, but you don't know until you actually truly have friendship. So what was that like for you? What did you think of opposite sex relationships? What did you think of friendships with the opposite sex, you know, and what does that look like for you now?
Before Christ? So, well, I'll say toxic. No, I've had some, I've always been like, kind of like a tomboy.
Yeah.
I'm not too girly. Like, I dressed up today.
I was about to say, Jessica, you in a whole pencil skirt. She's like, I'm not girly. But
I'm usually not. Like, I'm just in workout clothes. But, I've always been like the tomboy. I've always liked sports, and so I always had been around guys, right, a lot. And I could have guy friends because I didn't see myself as like anything else besides just a friend.
Yeah,
you know. And so I could be friends with the opposite sex, right? But when you know that they like you or they're interested in you, that's when it starts getting weird.
Yeah,
and it's like. What to do with this, and so I just friend zone everybody. I could have, I've always been able to have healthy friendships.
That's good.
Yeah.
And so going from we're looking at relationships before, I'll speak on my end of things, right? I would say I was like a serial 1 year relationship person.
1 year and that's it.
Yeah, because it's like I took my relationship seriously, and it's not like I would have a different boyfriend or something, like, or interested in someone every other week or every other month. Some people are, you know, but for me it was like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, I'm interested in you, you're interested in me, so we're gonna date, and it would last like a year. And then obviously I spent zero time as just friends. It was just, oh, we like each other, whatever. Maybe it was like a month or so of getting to know someone, and then it was a serious relationship. And that failed because it was like, you don't actually know the person fully. You only know them in the, maybe in the attraction or in the appeal or the things that you have in common. But I believe that friendship, and, you know, Pastor Juan Ruthie told me this for years, friendship is the time that you get to know someone, and then you can decide if you want to pursue something. So for me, it was like, man, I was in a relationship years after year, and then another year, and then another year. And it was just like, what am I doing? Like, that gets tiring too, of like, you want to invest time in something, but it falls apart, or you realize that, man, we're better off as friends, or we shouldn't have even gotten into a relationship, or we weren't good for each other, or people's true colors come out after, you know, some time. And so what was your experience in relationships? Because like you said, you consider yourself a Christian. So being Christian, I mean, I, like I said, I made mistakes, and there's times that I've done it the right way. What was your experience being in relationships in the past?
Well, I like how you said that, because I think the 1 year thing is, that just shows that you were committed to that person for 1 year. Like, I can't even do that.
Like, you were the month to month one.
I'm like, no, I can't deal with them, you know? And so, I wasn't like too big into, if I'm being honest, I wasn't too big into relationships or boys. Like for a long time, like, I think I was more into like the street life.
Yeah.
You know, like I was in the clubs and turned up all the time. So it was just like, I wasn't really interested in the relationship until I met, you know, really like my son's dad was like my first real committed long-term relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, single this whole time.
I've had relationships, you know, and I've built solid friendships and then got into a relationship based on the foundation of a solid friendship, but then realize after crossing those boundaries that, you know, we weren't meant to be.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, that's okay, but it sucks because then I lost a friend, you know, and things get weird.
Yeah.
But that was like, I feel like, well, if I'm being honest too, it's like boundaries are so important, because once we cross those boundaries of like sexual sin, that's when things get like real blurry and
messed up. I mean,
and things get weird.
I mean, in Christ or outside of Christ, because we're not sitting here claiming to be perfect, you know, but it's like there's boundaries in relationships, but then there's also just what God has called us, you know, to do as believers. You know, there's scripture that says to offer your body as a living sacrifice. And we read that and we think that it's like, oh man, another thing that we have to do. But really, it's something that God put in place to protect us. Because you're absolutely right. Once we surrender things in a sexual nature, even in our mind, even if you didn't act on it, you know, it's like God created the covenant of marriage to protect us, to not have those pieces of us sort of torn away as we're kind of in sin or giving ourselves away, you know, sexually or things like that. And so I appreciate your honesty in those things, because I definitely understand and relate. And if I were to even go further back, because I was in the streets, I was in church. But the culture that I grew up in church was a lot what some people might find familiar, was like the purity culture.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you can't have sex until you're married. And so it's like accurate, not wrong. But then there was no other conversations outside of that about sexuality, you know, porn, masturbation, all that sorts of stuff, or sin, restoration, like any of those things. And so for me, it was like taboo, because it's like, do not have sex.
That's until all you're married. Knew was like, you're not supposed to.
That's it. And so then whenever I committed sin and did have sex before marriage, I was like, oh, well, this is out the window. Like, there's no going back. I'm like, that's it. And so I even had to come out of that thinking, because I learned, and as I grew in Christ, was just how much he restores. Like, it's not just, you're not just what your sin was. You know what I mean? Or the, hopefully you're not in a habitual sin, right? But if there is something like a backslide or a mess up, or you fail in temptation, then God restores. You know, you grace. Go and you seek forgiveness, you repent, you, like you said earlier, accountability, having women of God or men of God around you that can kind of walk with you and put those boundaries in place so that you don't fall again. So for me, it was just even getting that out of my mindset of like, no, it's okay. Like, it's not okay to sin, but when, or if you do, it's to point you back to Jesus, and he can restore and make like new. And so when I got that revelation is when I was like, no, it's not about what my last committed sins were. It's about who I am now moving forward. And that really just helped carry me through a lot of, like you said, toxic relationships, trauma, healing, you know, because I think a lot of the time, as individuals, without even going into friendships or relationships, we've got stuff that has happened to us. You know, like you said, you saw, you didn't see a marriage growing up. So how can you even
How can I be that if I've never seen that?
Exactly. And so it's not something that you did. Like, it wasn't your fault that that happened. But it is your responsibility to say, okay, let me take the time to heal, to seek, maybe surround myself by some good marriages so I can see what that looks like. I know that was the experience for me, because once I started volunteering and surrounding myself with Pastor Juan and Ruthie, it was like, I saw them everywhere. So I was their assistant. I traveled with them. I saw them good, bad, ugly, all the things.
Yeah.
And they are who they say that they are. And so it's like, I'm able to hopefully be that example now that I'm married to others, where I'm like, it doesn't have to be segregated.
Yeah.
We don't have to be married people over here, single people over here.
Yeah.
Like, you want to bring those communities together. Yeah. Because some people might need to see what a healthy relationship looks like, or what healthy friendships look like. Because like you said, you can be friends. I have male friends, you know, all of the time. But I think that there's just boundaries that you put into place.
Yeah.
What were some of the, I don't know, struggles other than that, like, that you find yourself in, you know, maybe pausing in the pursuit of relationships, or even in the going of like, man, I want to pursue a relationship. What were some of the personal struggles for you?
Before Christ or now?
Whatever you want to share.
I would say now, the, what do you mean, like the issues of?
Yeah, like, what do you personally feel like, man, you know, this was a challenge for me? Maybe you've already overcome it, or maybe you are currently overcoming it. Like, what did you find challenging for yourself in relationships?
You know what I find challenging? I wouldn't say in relationships, but I would say when somebody's interested and I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how to say no. Like, without, because I don't intentionally want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know? And so, like, if a friend has been my friend for a long time and they're interested, I'm like, but I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt their feelings, you know?
So you know how to do that now, or you still don't know how to do that?
I still am working on that. Like, I'm just kind about it. But I was going to ask you, like, what advice would you give on something like that?
Mm-hmm. Man, you know, that's really important. So I feel that we're in Christ. So hopefully, right, in the examples that we're talking about, it's a brother in Christ, right? It's somebody who also believes in the Lord. I feel that we have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters, right? So not only like, because I know we've spoken, I love the podcast you guys put on, like, dressing modestly and all that sorts of stuff, because sometimes we think it's just the male's fault, or sometimes it's just the female's fault. But it's like, no, if we love each other, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want my brother to stumble, and he shouldn't want his sister to be lusted after, or whatever the case is. And so in the friendships, I feel like we have this responsibility to care and love our brothers, and in a way that honors them, you know, because you don't want to hurt, just as much as we don't want to walk around with offense, we don't want to walk around with bitterness, unforgiveness. Well, I don't want to walk around with anything that's like, oh, well, that, you know, she treated me this way, or this, or she rejected me like this, or she talked bad about me here or there, right? And so I feel like there is a responsibility that we have in that, because, dude, good looking single woman, you're gonna have people who are interested in you, right? And so it's not foreign to find people being like, hey, I want to pursue something else. But your responsibility, or our responsibility, if I was single, is like stewarding it in the best way possible so that the other person isn't hurt. And what I have found sometimes that we do is we don't want to hurt feelings.
Yeah.
And whenever we don't want to hurt feelings, sometimes it comes off like being like the other person is being led on, because we're not straightforward enough.
Yeah.
Or we're not, because it doesn't have to be rude. It just has to be clear, you know? And so what I have seen sometimes is that because we don't want to hurt feelings, then in the guy's mind, or opposite sex, whichever one you're in, but in the guy's mind, it's like, okay, well, she hasn't said no. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there might be some
hope.
He
still got a chance.
Yeah, he still has a chance, type of thing. And it, who's really fault is, I feel like it's both people are at fault there. And so I, you know, and sometimes, and I've done it before too, where I'm like, okay, this is my friend, you know, this and that, and they're interested. And then they're suddenly bringing you coffee and they're doing nice things for you and this and that. But by me receiving and accepting those things like all of the time is giving that person an ounce of hope, an ounce of like possibility versus just saying, hey, straightforward, no, like
not interested.
I'm not interested. I appreciate that. And like, you know, and modifying the relationship accordingly. Yeah. Maybe it's I don't feel comfortable with you, you know, always opening the door and sitting next to me at church or something like that, you know, or like, you know, it would feel better if we went for coffee with other people and it wasn't just us or something like that. Because I do think that it is it's not our fault if people want to, you know, I'm saying us as if I was single, but when I was single, it's not your fault that people are, you know, attracted to you. You have every right to be. You love the Lord, you're beautiful and you're single. So there's going to be people there's going to be people who are wanting to pursue that, but it's our responsibility to make it clear so that we don't hurt our brothers and sisters. And that's the main thing. And so I struggled with that also, because sometimes that honesty comes off as like rude or like, oh, she thinks she's all this and that.
And I'm just like, I'm not, and I don't want to portray like if I am, you know.
I think there's like pros and cons to both, right? Because if you're in a moment where you're like, I'm not open to anything at all, then sometimes the sign is just straight up no. Like and everyone knows, right? So everyone knows that, nope, don't try to bring nobody around this person because they're not interested in pursuing relationships right now. They're, whether it's this Bob, Susie, or Joe, it don't matter who it is. They're just not going to pursue it. Yeah. But I think sometimes when we have like those little open doors and just things that seem like harmless actually end up hurting the person, because they're like, okay, well, I have experienced friends doing the waiting game. I don't know about you, but
they're just waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Where it's
they've
like,
been waiting,
oh,
girl,
they're
20
like,
years.
Yeah, sure. I'll be your friend. And they're wait. And sure enough, like after some time, oh, all of a sudden we're no longer friends. And it's like, that's what I believe the friendship part is so essential, because do I want friends of the opposite sex? Sure, you can have brothers in Christ, but do I want to have a friend who's only there because they're expecting a relationship at the end of this friendship? Then no,
because their
that
intentions
friend.
Weren't pure.
Exactly. And so that friendship period is like super important, but I think sometimes it's just being honest of, hey, I'm not pursuing anything romantic right now, you know?
Well, I don't want to say that because that's not true.
Well,
it's
then
just...
which one is it then? Because you said, like, I'm pursuing the Lord only earlier.
I mean, I am, but eventually I do want to get married, right? Like, I've been married, I've been single, I've been divorced. And so marriage is a blessing.
Yeah.
Right? And so I always say, like, I enjoyed being married because it kind of just, like, shuts all this other stuff down. You know, and you're living life with your best friend.
Yeah, true.
You know, so it is a blessing. It and is. I do want that. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I think I'm just going through, let's get to know each other first.
Yeah.
As friends. But then I'll get guys that be like, well, I don't want to be your friend. Like, I want more. And I'm like, what do you do with that?
Well, that's the friend part. You know what I mean? So for me, the friendship is important because, and you had mentioned that our friend Trey Nine had like challenged you of like, hey, one year.
Girl,
and that's funny because both of our spiritual followers have told that to us before. Pastor Juan had always told me, hey, don't date for a year or be friends for a year, you know? Yeah. And it just seemed foreign. It was like, what do you mean? Like, a year seems like forever, especially if you're single, right? Because you're like, what do you, like, a year? Who the heck is going to wait for me for a year? Or I could miss all these opportunities of people who are interested in me in a year, you know? So what was that like when he hit you with that?
Man, girl, I got convicted. Like, I got convicted, and it was like, he is a spiritual father, right? So he has a lot of wisdom. He can speak into my life, right? And so when he said that, I was like, I like a challenge. I was like, that's cool. I'll give you your year. Watch. And so I did do it, right? And he said, after that year, then we could talk about you dating.
Right.
Right. And so it was, I don't think it was really hard for me.
Yeah, it went by quick after that,
girl,
right?
As busy as I stay, I'm like, what dating? Like, what's that like?
No, I like the year. And because I was in relationships before, you know, thinking in the Christ way of like, oh, you know, I really love this person and, you know, we both love the Lord. Sometimes they didn't love the Lord. And it's just, I always had in my mind because of how I grew up of like, you're going to marry. You're dating with intentions marry, you know? And so in all my relationships, I kind of had that thought.
That's really good though.
Yes and no. So I kind of have both thoughts on it now. Cause when I speak to young women who are in church, I sort of caution them on the date to marry because I don't feel like we've figured out dating as a culture so much so, like in Christianity. And so what I think sometimes that caused and what it caused for me was, okay, now I'm viewing this boyfriend as a husband. And so then you start doing husband things, you start doing wife things for them because you think that they're your husband, but or you start seeing red flags as green flags because you're like, oh, well, you know, they're going to be my husband and stuff like that. And so that lens, not healthy. But the other way of like, I'm only going to date if I see myself married to this person, I think is healthy. But the friend part for me, when I got that light bulb and even what you're experiencing now is, it's really just time, like time and experiences. We know that so much can happen in a year. Job losses, promotion, financial things, financial blessings, death, life, like all these different things. We had COVID, you know, we had a whole pandemic. We've had, you know, discord amongst believers and all sorts of stuff. And I believe the 1 year is a good, like, just example of like, see what they look like. What are they like whenever they,
when they're mad,
emotional. What are they like whenever they get a promotion? Do they get prideful? Do they get cocky? What are they like whenever they go through a tough situation or trial in their personal life? Do they isolate? Do they this? And so for me, I used a friend label before I start dating whenever I was single, because it helped me view them not in a romantic way. That's could still good. Be like, man, I am kind of interested in that person, but I kept putting the friend label as like a lens so that I protected myself to not do, I'm not going to hold hands and kiss with my friend because that's not right at all. So don't be saying you're friends and then you're actually dating and you're actually, don't do that. But then also the friend label to protect myself in the sense of like, view this person as an individual. Not based off of something that is it going to work together. How are they on their own? Do they only hang out with, how do they treat the waiter? I always give people this example. I'm like, are they like real snappy of like,
when their order's wrong?
Yeah, when their order's wrong, or like they didn't refill my cup. Dang, all those little things are the ones that you should be looking for. So that then you can decide, okay, I do want to pursue something further with this person, or no, I don't. And I've been in situations like you had said where it's like, man, you think that you wanted it and then it ends up something else afterwards. Yeah. And I feel that if I would have extended those friendships more, you could have just completely prevented the turmoil of a relationship or a breakup.
Yeah.
And it could have just been two mutual Christ-loving friends saying, you know what? We are interested in one another, but we have our differences. And I don't believe that we're compatible for being in relationships. And then the friendships aren't weird after that, because it's a mutual agreement. And one of the things is funny, because I don't know how it is with older people and young people, because sometimes I talk to teenagers a lot, but I have the same example for them of like, if someone needs the label to not behave a certain way, then I don't want them to be my boyfriend anyways. If they need to be like, that's my girlfriend, so that they're not talking to other girls, they can't even respect that. Hey, I am interested, but I'm not ready for a relationship. If they can't respect that without a label, then I don't wanna trust them like that when we're in the label, because the label is just stopping you from messing around or from talking or doing whatever, you know? And so a lot of times that prevents a whole lot of issues before you even step into the relationship. And I feel like that's why in Christ, when we do those things right, we can get into a dating relationship or relationships that's pursuing marriage rather, you know, quickly after that time. For myself, that was me and Jonathan. It was like, bro, we've already dated before. We've been jacked up. We've been good before.
Yeah.
And we weren't going to date. Jonathan will tell you, I was not interested in pursuing a relationship, but I did have people that I was interested in and who were interested in me. And girl, was pissed. He was so upset. He was like, I can't believe that she told me that. And I'm like, but it's true. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I have not made a decision on who, and everyone is being very open in this conversation. And it's not until we're saying, okay, we're going to be together and we're going to work together to be married, that we're going to be in a relationship. And so then it's funny. Everyone thought like something was crazy because we got married in 6 days after
engaged,
you know, but it was like, when you know, you know.
Well, because y'all known each other, right?
For a long time. We did, but we also had a big time span in between of not knowing each other. So when we became friends again, it was finding out, okay, who is this person? Yeah. We already, the physical attraction and all that, we already know we liked each other and we've dated before. But now it's, okay, who is this person now? What is their walk like with Christ? Do they need me to go to church with them? Do they need me to read their word?
He didn't need time because he already knew who you were from being around his dad and his
true. Pastor likes to take credit for that and be like, Jonathan, you owe me. I'm not an object. But we also had to do that within each other of being like, okay, we're friends. And he would tell you, like, you know, he'd be upset because we didn't kiss. And I'm just like, we're not going to kiss, bro. Like, because I don't kiss my friends, you know? You put
solid boundaries on them.
Exactly. And so boundaries are really important in all relationships. But I do believe that that friendship time, I don't think that there's anything wrong with pursuing, courting or pursuing someone or someone pursuing you, but keeping that friendship label there intentionally so that you guard your heart and you also protect your brother, because I feel like they matter. And if you can maturely and mutually come to an agreement of like, hey, we're interested in one another, let's keep hanging out in groups, let's keep hanging out with accountability and things like that and get to know one another. And then if anything changes, you let me know and I'll let you know. If I decide, you know, hey, I think Susie over here is a little bit more, then I'm going to say, hey, Jessica, you know, I think I'm also going to pursue Susie. And then you can decide. Or if you decide, man, I'm not really feeling attracted to that dude anymore, or, you know, there's some things that don't click. Because oftentimes, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I have encountered people who are like, he loves the Lord. And that's the reason why they're dating. And I'm like, girl, no. What?
That means we'll be dating every single person in church.
Thank you. That is exactly the point. And so I would like to just remind everyone that it's like, that should be the bare minimum.
Yes.
That's the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. God gave us free will. He didn't force us to choose him. So why would he force us to choose a spouse just because that they're
a believer? They're safe?
We have a plethora of different types of believers. Like, some people are tech people. Some people are construction people. Some people are extroverted, introverted, all these different things. And so don't let that be the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Right. Because you have the option of like, man, dope. Hopefully you're only pursuing people who love Christ, but also people who love Christ and are going to be able to fulfill the calling that God has placed on your life and their life together. Because that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, that was new for me, because like before coming to the ministry about 4 years ago, like that was not my bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, he believes in God. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and so it is more than just that. And it's more than, now it's like, are you a provider? Could he be a provider? Mm-hmm. How does, like you said, how does he treat the waiter? I always say, you know, how does he treat people he doesn't need?
Yeah,
good. What does he do for work? Because God tells the men that they have to work.
Right.
So if they struggling to get employment and stuff, I'm like,
are they going from job to job, right?
Yeah.
Can they not be managed? Are you stable? Well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I look at all those things, and sometimes like, I had a friend tell me that I'm picky, and I'm like, I'm not picky. It's just I have godly standards.
Yeah.
And so that is biblical. And I also see it as like, dating to me is not, dating's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Nobody dated. But I think we, as in that, that's like the culture now. And so I kind of get like, I don't know if I'm dating.
Yeah.
But I'll get to know somebody, you know. And so my trial period is 3 months. You had a year, but I'm like, I'll get to know somebody for 3 months. And I do, like, since I have an HR brain, I'm like, let's do some phone interviews. So I see it as like, I get to know somebody just in conversations. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, let's come to a public place like a church or wherever and see if, go out to eat. But I don't want to put no label as in like, oh, we're dating.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're getting to know each other.
Yeah. I think the dating is just, like you said, a cultural term. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's something that is, you know, it's just the terms that we use now because we go out on a date, right?
Yeah.
And just because you go out on a date with someone doesn't mean that you're dating that person, right? But I think whatever term you use and terminology between the two, it should be clear, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, they joke around and be like, we don't go together, but do other people think that you go together?
Oh, they all do.
I need to find that stuff.
They
all do.
If I go anywhere in public with any guy, they're like, oh, you were talking to him? Oh, that's your boyfriend? I'm like, oh, that's my friend. Like, what?
And so being able to have those clear lines that mm-hmm. a friend means this, right? Because the problem too is that if we cross those lines with a friend, then by default everyone else thinks, oh well, a friend means that they're doing this or that, you know, or a friend means that they have these expectations or whatever. I mean, I used to tell people all the time, I'm like, if that's your friend, why is he paying for your food all the time? Why is he buying? That's so not friend. You know what I mean? That's boyfriend stuff. So don't just say the friend thing, but behave a different way. You know, if that's friend, why am I getting jealous that another girl's talking to you? Ooh, let me check my heart. I'm not in the right place. Because why would I trip about a friend talking to somebody else? Right? And so it's really our view of the friendship. And there's nothing wrong with when you do or don't put labels, but it's really your heart posture. Yeah. You know, of like, okay, I need to find myself viewing this person in the way that Christ views them, you know? And so I wanted to share a scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:14-16 says, "Do not be mismatched with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and lawlessness share together? Or what does light have in common with darkness? Or what harmony does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer share with an unbeliever? Or what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God." And that's exactly what we were speaking about earlier, of like, in everything that we do, whether it means rejecting someone in a kind way, whether it means sitting down and clarifying expectations of someone who's interested in you, or that you're interested in, it's realizing that the temple, that we are the temple of the living God, and he's living inside of us. So we want to honor him in everything that we do, in our conversations, in our behaviors, right? And so then in Matthew 6:33, this is one of the things that was really just pressed on my heart this morning. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you." Mm-hmm. Because God sees our hearts, and as long as our hearts are lined up with his will, then he is going to provide the perfect relationship, the perfect marriage that will be able to glorify God in all things. Because
in his timing.
In 1 Corinthians 7:8 says, "But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I, but if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." Which, hey, we're not knocking it. Y'all like each other that much, and you this close to sinning, bro, just go to the altar, you know, get married, and we'll figure it out. But if you have self-control, which hopefully we're all operating
we're practicing it.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. But it says, if they do not have self-control, let them marry, right? Mm. And then further on in that chapter, it says in 32, "But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried, is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord." Mm. And I think that's a perfect reminder of your walk currently right now. And what I hope that everyone who is in a single season right now is that you have this incredible opportunity. I loved my single years in the sense of, man, I had all of the time in the world that I didn't have to go and cook for a husband, or I didn't have to coordinate schedules, you know, with spouses or kids or any of those things. Mm-hmm. And I could fully devote myself to the Lord. That's an honor. That's an opportunity. It's not something less than. You're not a lesser believer if you're unmarried. It's actually a great opportunity because, you're married and your marriage should honor Christ, but you have earthly things to tend to when you're fully committed in that marriage, so that your intention is going to be divided. Your time is going to be split. You have to manage it. It's going to be a little bit more difficult. And so taking full advantage of that, I'm like, man, if you're single, you should go all in for Christ. You should do all the things that you maybe can't do when you're married, because it's going to look differently once you are. And so it's amazing to just have that example. I believe it's Paul in Corinthians, speaking to the Corinthians in this letter, of like, it's an opportunity. It's a blessing. Mm-hmm. Your singleness is a blessing to be fully and undistractedly devoted to the Lord. Yeah. And so you have spoken to, I mean, you speak to people all the time. You have your own podcast as well. And then you mentioned to me that you love going into the women's prisons and ministering to them. If you had to speak to one of them today, or if you wanted to give encouragement to a woman who is in Christ, finding herself in that single season, but wanting to pursue a godly relationship, what would you tell them? And you can speak to them directly.
So I would say not just for women, mm-hmm. but for men too, that are incarcerated, you know, it is tough, you know, but I think that time is where God doesn't make mistakes, right? And so you're there right now in this season, and this is your time where you should truly give Christ 1,000%, like not anything less, and just truly seek his word, seek after him in prayer, meditation, and just, you know, all the things that are out here, they're kind of on a pause, right? And so when you're in there, he's preparing you to come out to here, or even in there if you're in relationships, because people are married in there, yeah. too, mm-hmm. you know, and so you're still an individual person, right? You're still an individual person, a woman of God, and Jonathan's a man of God. And so I see it as like separately, you have to pursue Christ and let him use you, you know, and let him work on those areas and let him allow him to heal your heart and to heal you from the things of the past. So you're able to have good relationships and good friendships, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. That's what I would say.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jessica, for being here today. Welcome. I know you'll be back soon. We're going to be able to chit-chat with Pastor Juan and hopefully get us all three in a room too. But I appreciate you coming and spending this time with me. I want to share Romans 12, 1 through 3 with you guys before we go. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Mm-hmm. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so wherever you find yourself in this conversation, whether you're pursuing a relationship, whether you're struggling or content in your single season, or even if you're like me, married and content where you are, I encourage you to encourage others around them to offer their bodies as living sacrifices, that true form of worship in our speech, in our conduct, in how we think and how we are with our friendships and our relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. Be that example as a solid Christian believer, as a single person, and be that example of a solid relationship and marriage in Christ to those around you, because we need all of it in the body. Mm-hmm. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. Stick around for the next show, and we'll see you soon.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.